Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is mid-morning on a Monday, January the 12th, 2026. Travis Ryer back with you here on Ryer on YouTube. TR in the AM, we like to call this particular program right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us. Hit that notification bell. That way you are alerted to content on the channel. And also, if you wouldn't mind, a thumbs up, a like for the shows would help us out as well. University Drive chiming in here in the show chat. By the way, you can do that as well. We'll certainly get to those comments as best we can while we're on this morning. University Drive says, Ryer out of bed yet? Yeah, I know. A few minutes tardy. Apologies, University. Who else we have here? Boy, E going. Speaking of the bed, maybe waking up on the wrong side of it. Case of the Mondays, maybe, for Egoing 74, who says the UA athletic department needs to fire this incompetence with the portal. And this is interesting because I think there are a couple of different sort of factions, a couple of different corners to this transfer portal performance by Kalen DeBoer and his staff to date, because that is one comment here in the show chat from Egoing. Obviously not happy with balling on a budget, it looks like, for Alabama, where the portal is concerned. And then also Chris the Bammer. He is apparently on the other side of that. He says too big a deal being made of the portal. I do like this, though, from Chris the Bammer. He also reminds you to like and subscribe. So go ahead and do that. And, it, you know, a couple of different viewpoints on this. I think it has been obviously a difficult few days for Alabama in terms of star power, in terms of areas where you felt like they needed to add some juice, primarily at the running back position. I mean, let's be honest. And we'll get to more of Hollywood Smothers coming up here in just a little bit. But from a bigger perspective, a bigger viewpoint in terms of, you know, the sustainability of Alabama's approach in the current marketplace. And, you know, a lot of people say, hey, give me three Southern Conference running backs who want to wear crimson and I'll go to war with them every day of the week. And I think there's also attached to that, you know, the importance of still grassroots recruiting, which has been largely overshadowed now in the transfer portal era. No one talks about signing classes anymore where the high school kids or the junior college prospects are concerned. It has become primarily about what have you done in the portal. And there are teams out there like Indiana right now, the nation's top-ranked team, who in 2 years have gotten this thing on the cusp of a national championship under Kirk Cignetti that's kind of undeniable. Does it mean you have to go out and try to outbid everyone for prospects? No, I don't think so, because I think Indiana has done a hell of a job in terms of evaluation and system fits. And then they're also coaching their asses off up in Bloomington. I mean, that's part of this too. And again, if it's more about call-ups, as I like to call them, I call them call-ups because in the transfer portal, because, you know, if you're bringing in guys that maybe were G5, FCS, maybe even D2, they're call-ups. You're calling them up to not just the P4 level, but the elite P4 level. then you're saying you've done your evaluation process and you feel like you've hit on some guys that aren't just capable of taking that next step up, but you also feel like your coaching staff from a developmental standpoint is capable of taking them to even a higher level. You know, and if you do have that kind of staff, and goes back to the evaluation process, you not only need to have a high hit rate on what your personnel department is doing on a day-to-day basis, and not just in terms of having a coaching staff that does a good job of developing, because now that's been expedited, man. You got to have a staff that's capable of taking guys from the high school level, the JC level, the portal if they're call-ups, and quickly getting them up to speed. You know, we're no longer in the era of guaranteed three-year runs with players like we had prior transfer portal. I mean, you were guaranteed essentially if you brought in a recruiting class with those guys, you were going to get 3 years. That's no longer the case. And regardless of the route you take, again, it still goes back to talent. So it still goes back to elite personnel and the ability to nail evaluations and then expedite the developmental process. We'll check in on the comments again here, see what else we've got going on. I want to talk about Ty Simpson too and what we've seen here of late. Rick says his fear is that college football will turn into MLB, the highest payroll will be the ones with the championships. That's interesting, though, because, you know, going into this, there was this belief that, well, the rich just get richer, not going to really level the playing fields. I don't know if enough people took into account the Mark Cubans in Indiana of the situation, or the Landman, as I like to call him, out in Lubbock with Texas Tech. I think there was largely this perception that, well, it's just going to be more of Ohio State. It's going to be more of Alabama. And that's not exactly how this has played out to date. It's interesting, actually, how it has played out. Donald chiming in here. He says, right, Travis, some of these big spenders aren't doing the coaching job that IU has done. In fact, most are not. Yeah, I mean, you got to give Indiana credit across the board. I think it starts with their evaluations under SIG and then the fits that they're bringing in because they've got call-ups on that roster. But they're obviously really good fits for not just what they do, but who they are, you know. And I don't think you watch Indiana football right now and kind of wonder after a quarter or so, I don't really know what their identity is. I don't really know who they are. You know, I think with Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, in some areas, we're still waiting to learn that 2 years in. So no doubt as we move forward into year three. But I wanted to talk about, again, Hollywood Smothers, the Ty Simpson rumblings that are out there. You know, when I see the Ty Simpson stuff, my first inclination is, man, his representation is really doing their job. Because it's not an accident that a lot of this information is getting out there. And I give credit to the Tuscaloosa News, Colin Gay, some of the reporting we've seen from them in regards to Ty's salary, or his money that he made during the 2025 season at Alabama. What was it that T-News reported? Somewhere around $800,000. And then we find out that there are still programs out there willing to perhaps go as high as $6.5 million in the Miami Hurricanes and also Tennessee, Ole Miss. I guess Ole Miss is okay for now, though. Deuce Knight coming over from Auburn, going home to Mississippi. I wondered about Tennessee was so quiet on the quarterback front. I know Joey Aguilar's in this lawsuit thing that Diego Pavia initiated in terms of eligibility. It doesn't sound like it's going to go his way. Who knows? I mean, Trinidad Chambliss might end up with another year at Ole Miss. This thing gets in the courts. That's one thing we've learned is that if you sue the NCAA, you can probably get injunctions or you can probably get what you want. So, to be determined with Joey Aguilar, but I still thought it was interesting that Tennessee was pretty quiet until we heard about Sam Leavitt, I guess, the Arizona State, former Arizona State quarterback being involved with the Vols, made you wonder about Ty Simpson. And I said this last week, or I tweeted this last week, made sure to tweet it because we haven't officially passed the deadline for underclassmen to declare for the NFL draft. It's one thing to come out and declare, but he still had more than a week before it was truly official and ironclad with that decision. So now we hear about Miami, we hear about Tennessee, we hear about Ole Miss, and that really sounds like an agent doing his job or representation doing their job. And it almost felt like maybe Alabama fans were being set up for, well, if he reverts or reverses course out of the portal, you know, there'll be information that was already out there that, you know, Ty really wants to be an Alabama guy. That's what he wants to be known as. And I believe that to be the case. I really do. But if Alabama isn't in that $4 million club and up, as we'll call it, and Ty comes back to college, ends up back in college, but it's not at Alabama, then the groundwork in terms of PR has been set with, well, you know, Ty made 800 at Alabama last year, and these teams are offering 6 million, and Alabama's not going to 4 to 6 million. Maybe that's some of that. I don't know. But either way, I thought, boy, this is representation doing their job at the college level. And, you know, for programs like Alabama right now too, or any program, you almost have to evaluate your existing personnel as if they were coming in from the outside. In other words, like if Austin Mack and Keelan Russell, who we both recently learned, are re-signed or retained, however, whichever vernacular you prefer at this point, for the 2026 season. I think it's interesting, maybe even with Austin Mack, though, I got to think at this point, what gets lost in the transfer portal right now is that there's still a grad transfer window, I believe, in the spring. And where he's at academically, maybe that could come into play for him once you get beyond spring practice even. But right now, as we know, Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, You pretty much had to evaluate both those guys. You know, that if you were looking for a call-up to start at quarterback for you in 2026, how would you evaluate those guys? And the luxury you have with those guys is that you've been able to make those evaluations from the inside. So a little bit stronger, not a little bit, a stronger feeling in terms of one or both of those guys as you move forward. Now, how all this ties in back to Hollywood Smothers, we'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit. Checking in again on the comments here. Let's see here. University Drive says G5 guys will play their ass off. Grateful for the opportunity. We are recruiting high school guys this staff like, but we are 1 to 2 years out with them. The SEC went to 105 less walk-ons and more developmental guys. Yeah, I mean, you know, you hope that's the case, but the access to the portal isn't going to change. You know, it'd be great, even with an increase in terms of guys that you have in your program. Doesn't mean there's not going to still be a lot of movement. What else do we have here? University also says Ty isn't a $4 million quarterback. Sorry. So University not thinking that that's going to happen with Ty Simpson and where at least Alabama is concerned. You know, I didn't think Carson Beck was that kind of quarterback either, especially coming off an elbow injury at the end of the 2024 season for the Georgia Bulldogs. But here's Miami in the national championship game. Now, is Carson Beck central to that? No, he's a complimentary quarterback. But when they needed him to play at a high level, he's remind me of Will Howard from a year ago for Ohio State. Miami's football team reminds me of Ohio State from a year ago. Ohio State a year ago going into the playoff, really regarded as an underachieving team, had come off an awful home loss to Michigan in the regular season finale, and then they found it. They still had the pieces. Will Howard played at a really high level, played at a high enough level that he got drafted probably a couple of rounds earlier than he should have by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that may happen too with Carson Beck. Jacob chiming in here. Do we think Hubbard, Pierre, or Saab come back? When is the deadline for those guys? Yeah, it's coming up. I think it's, I think it's less than a week away. But both the portal and the NFL underclassmen. I would think Pierre's coming back. Hubbard, Saab, you know, that's where it could get interesting. I think both probably should come back. I think a lot of it comes down to your valuation, you know, where your current team is concerned, and also maybe where you think you might be able to still make another move in the transfer portal. Donald chiming in here. Travis, do you think developing high school players is the way to become a champion anymore? I think it has to be a mixture of right portal fits and high school recruiting. I agree. I think it's myopic to think, oh, we brought in 20, 25 guys we really like, and we're going to be able to pour into all of them for 2 or 3 years. I don't think that's realistic anymore. So whether you want to hit the portal or not, and I think Alabama understands that. I don't think this is news to Courtney Morgan and Kalen DeBoer. It's going to have to be the right mix. But I think it is fits. You know, you can't just evaluate it totally on, well, this is a really talented guy. Well, great. Does he fit your program conceptually in terms of what you're trying to do, depending on which side of the ball he plays? And then also dynamically, you know, what are you bringing? Who are you bringing into your program? Chris asking, we need strong, or saying we need tough OL and DL. What's your read on Ty Haywood? Any others? Yeah, you know, I'm kind of like everybody else when it comes to information and involving potential portal additions. I will say Haywood would obviously be a great addition. I think more so because if you get him, that lends to flexibility in terms of what you can do with some of your existing pieces. You know, if you're thinking big Mike Carroll more on the inside, I think you've got to land at least one of these kind of guys at tackle. And then you got to feel really good. Still, this is where that mixture comes into play. Even if you land guys like this, you're still probably going to need one of your existing guys, one of your grassroots guys like Jackson Lloyd in year two to take another step. If you're thinking I'm going to go maybe Mike Carroll inside, Will Sanders inside, you know, I hit the portal for the center position. That feels like a certainty at this point. And so let's talk about this Hollywood Smothers situation. We'll get back to the chat here in just a little bit. I think Hollywood Smothers in a lot of ways was another lesson. The NC State running back transfer in the new version of college athletics, or really it was just reaffirmation, if that's a word, about what grassroots recruiting was before it. There's committed versus signed. And when it comes to transfer portal targets, signing day is the last day of a visit. You know, it's not like grassroots where you get them committed and then you got to wait to try to get them signed. You got to get these cats signed before they leave campus. And it doesn't matter if you might have built in ties to a particular player from previous years, or even if the enrollment process is initiated, you got to get them signed. And if there's some type of, and maybe Alabama already has this, the Southeastern Conference, but there's that boilerplate contract along the lines of what the Big Ten has already implemented that I think would be a really good thing, because when you've got the Washington quarterback, Damon Williams, who attempted to pull a Hollywood on the Huskies in the last week with Lane Kiffin and LSU leading that charge, it got shut down pretty quickly, didn't it? Because I believe the Big Ten or the NIL rules in general, you know, that they have a thing where you're not getting out of that. You're going to owe the $4 million, and the school you go to is going to lose that much off of their, I believe it's their revenue sharing they lose. It's a double hit. So not sure if Alabama has that type of situation in place, maybe the SEC too, but they need to. Not a big, hey, you need to mimic the Big Ten, but that worked out pretty well. I would say we'll see dynamically with Williams, though, going back in that situation, and he's your quarterback. I mean, intangibly, you know, what does that mean? Now, we've seen it at other places. Hawaii had a quarterback a couple of years ago, hit the portal, ended up with his tail between his legs, coming back. I think it was Schrager, the quarterback out there 2 years ago, came back, had a good year for Hawaii. Maybe that'll be the case for Williams and Washington. But yeah, on the field, it feels like a hit because this was a guy, as we talked about in a previous video here. I mean, he had what this Alabama offense needs. I compared him to sort of James Cook. I know a lot of folks just took the low-hanging fruit and said Jahmyr Gibbs, which I get. I mean, it's easy. But boy, I saw a lot of James. I still see a lot of James Cook. He didn't die, Hollywood Smothers, just in the eyes maybe of Alabama fans. So what does it mean for Alabama's running back room? Well, Daniel Hill, for now, we guess. We still got some time in this portal window, so we'll see. Daniel Hill, A.K. Deer, E.J. Crowell coming in, Kevin Riley. As I said with Smothers, you like the complementary nature that he was going to bring to what you already had. And I understand A.K. Deer, I think, can be that kind of guy. And this goes back to what I talked to earlier. You know, this isn't like Eddie Lacy back in 2009 when he was the other running back to come in with Trent Richardson in that class. And you really didn't hear about Eddie Lacy until what, 2011, 2012 probably, you know? Because he was going to be around. You can kind of count on that. Well, I mean, you can't count on that anymore. So A.K. Deer, year two, needs to be more along the lines, different styles, I get it, different skill sets. I'm just saying relative to the developmental process. A.K. Deer in year two needs to be what Eddie Lacy was in like year three, four. That's where we've kind of moved with this. So he brings that explosiveness. I think E.J. Crowell is intriguing for sure. Ultra productive high school back in Alabama prep football. He has the look. He has that sort of multitude of skills that you like. I don't know what he runs. You know, I'm not sure if he's a 4-3 guy, but he gives me some Josh Jacobs vibes. He's hard to tackle. He's hard to tackle. He runs very competitively is the way I would put it. He's able to extend runs, I think, because he can change direction. I think he can use his offhand. You know, to me, that was a big problem this year for Alabama backs, man. Using just any way necessary to keep their feet clean. It was like first hit down most of the time. And we're talking about 240-pound back. You got to be able to keep your feet clean and get through the trash. Kevin Riley there. So as it sits right now, and understanding there's still some time for Alabama in the portal, I think the emphasis has got to be on Deer and Crowell, an early enrollee, to bring something entirely different to this Alabama offense than what it had a year ago. Now, that goes back to offensive line play, tight end play. I understand all that. And we'll work through some of these portal additions that we haven't talked about here on the channel previously to give you our thoughts on that. Let's see. What do we got here? Chris, the Bammer, says, make Jeff Stoutland an offer he can't refuse. Well, hey, the Eagles are out. The Eagles are out after yesterday. Tough one for the Eagles up there at home against a really decimated 49ers team when it comes to injuries. I don't see it. I don't see it at this point in his career. I mean, you're already coaching pro players. I don't see him coming down unless, you know, it was more so the Eagles that sort of initiated that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Donald says he's glad Washington won that battle with Damon Williams. Teams have to fight this being taken. Well, the Big Ten's, they've got a system in place that absolutely helps them with that. a boilerplate sort of agreement, it sounds like, for the Big Ten. Shane says, absolutely don't believe the sky is falling. Take from the Smothers flip, either lesson learned or didn't want to pay for his talent. Yeah, I mean, as we just outlined, there's a couple of guys that bring that sort of those attributes that you were thinking you were going to get with Hollywood Smothers. The big difference is documented production. I mean, we've seen Hollywood Smothers for 2 years get the job done. And apparently it's going to be for the Texas Longhorns. Camp Coleman also. And we talked about the Texas schools, man. Saw Texas A&M with Isaiah Horton signing on with the Aggies after a year in Tuscaloosa. Felt like that was a sort of buddy trip maybe to Tuscaloosa for him with Ty. So not surprised by that. And not particularly. I know it's been portrayed as Alabama losing its top receiver. Alabama's losing its top receiver, but that was Jeremy Bernard. I know the production wasn't there for Jeremy down the stretch. And I know Isaiah came up big and came up big against Auburn and Oklahoma, especially down the stretch. But it just doesn't hit me as a massive departure from the wide receiver position. Yeah, and it goes back to earlier. You've got to expedite the developmental process. If you're not going to be able to go get a Cam Coleman, or you choose not to, whichever the case may be, then you're saying that we're capable of expediting the developmental process of guys like EJ Crowell at running back, of guys like Sadarian Morgan at wide receiver, because they certainly have the skill set. Now, there's more that goes into it. But I will say this, Sadarian Morgan, day one, will be a better blocker on the perimeter than Isaiah Horton was. Now, you couldn't run anything towards Isaiah Horton. You couldn't run towards Isaiah Horton in the formation. You couldn't quick game towards Isaiah Horton in the quick game. It was below bad if you tried to do those things. And was he particularly dynamic and explosive? Yeah. I mean, made some big plays. He was more of a Laquon Treadwell without the physicality, I would say. You know, if you wanted to hit the whole shot or the back shoulder throw, or, you know, he was good in some red zone situations. That didn't strike me as overly impactful in Isaiah Horton moving on. What do we have here? Don chiming in on the show chat. I fear Adam Watford will be one of our most important signs, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Don's worried about the offense, apparently. Adam Watford coming in from UNA, Florence. The Shoals, stand up, man. Love the Shoals. Muscle Shoals sound, fame. Give me all that. I've checked out Adam Watford a little bit. He's a little different in terms of punters because he's not 6'3", 6'4". He's not J.K. Scott to look at, Cody Mandel, even Blake Dowd was like 6'5", but really coming off a strong 2025, and he punted a lot for UNA in 2025, had nearly 20 punts of 50 yards or more. He's built, you remember Jeremy Schatz? Is that going too far back? Jeremy Schatz punted for Alabama, I think, in 2005. Remember Jeremy? Little dude, small dude. Not what you typically see. You see more of those kind of guys like Jeremy Shelley, those kind of guys as kickers. Usually your punters are longer. PJ Fitzgerald, you know, he's a good athlete. PJ was maybe too good. I think they tried too many fakes. Maybe PJ called his own shots on some of those sometimes too, called his own number. But Watford statistically, what, 46 plus last year? And that was at sea level. You know, Blake Dowd coming in from the Colorado School of Mines, that stat package from 2024 might have been a little bit elevated, so to speak. But, yeah, Watford, I think, could be important. How important? I think some of that depends on what else we see here in the portal from Alabama. The quarterback position, you feel good, again, about the retention of both those guys with Austin Mack and Keelan Russell, but certainly up front, you've got some stuff to work out. Let's see, what else do we have here? But anyway, let's get into some more of these some more of these additions, I guess, for the Alabama Crimson Tide, with an emphasis maybe more so on the offensive line. And that's where you're still waiting in some ways. You've seen Olaus Alanen has moved on to Kentucky, Will Conformby, A&M, Arkell Anuglam to Northwestern. We talked about Mike Carroll and Jackson Lloyd coming back. And there has been additions. It's just been more so on the interior where Caden Strayhorn, where you obviously are thinking this guy's stepping in to start with Brailsford moving on to the National Football League. So guard, interior, another tackle. Still waiting to see how that's going to play out. We talked about Haywood and some other potential options there. The defensive line, I think that's an area where right now you feel pretty good about what Alabama's been able to do. James Smith moves on. We've learned that Kelby Collins has moved on to South Carolina now. Tim Keenan, obviously, moving on to the National Football League. I think there'll be guys that they'll have for 2026 that are fine, at that defensive tackle sort of bandit role. LT Overton, obviously, moving on as well from that spot. So it's kind of like the offensive line. It's a rebuild in a lot of ways. But Devin Tompkins coming in from USC, we had talked previously about really liking him. We've learned here in the last day or so, Kedrick Bingley Jones coming in from Mississippi State. I think he is a guy that when you think about right on the top of the football or the ways in which Tim Keenan was utilized, he could be that kind of guy. I think Jeremiah Beeman coming back from injury, that was probably a bigger injury than most folks realized at the time that it happened. Because at London Simmons, in terms of being used inside, I like it. I liked it as far as pass rush and negative play potential. And I think London, with another year of development, can become more complete. Just time and hopefully the strength and conditioning program, we see him take another step. That hasn't been the case for a lot of guys, it seems like, in recent years. I'll tell you, we'll see what happens with him in terms of his immediate future, but I think there's potential there for Boumwa, Steve Bolo Boumwa, physically anyway. Obviously, very much a developmental year for him in 2025, but as far as the sort of presence you would like to have inside, I think he would certainly fit that bill. Isaiah Fonga played a lot in 2025. What can he do in terms of the developmental process? And then we talked about LT Overton moving on. I think some of these guys, for that bandit spot, there's some versatility with some of those guys like Edric Hill, maybe Tompkins as well, but certainly an area there at the bandit, with Keon Keeley transferring out as well, where you got to answer a few questions up front on that defensive line. Let's see here. Yeah, Chris is very big on London Simmons. Should be. Thought he showed a lot of good things in year one for the Crimson Tide. University says change the schedule, Greg Byrne. SEC needs time to develop, mimic the Big Ten schedule. I don't know. You're talking about from just a, this is where it's interesting too for next year for Alabama in terms of what happens here in this window, both with the NFL and the portal, is the layout of the 2026 schedule and how that could benefit the Crimson Tide, especially early in the season. Now we'll see. Will Stein at Kentucky. Kentucky's been pretty active in the portal. Kentucky is apparently becoming more of a player in that regard. But you open with East Carolina in Tuscaloosa. Go to Lexington week two. Florida State, certainly with what you bring back anyway, should be a sense of maybe some get back where the Seminoles are concerned. In week three in Tuscaloosa, you get South Carolina at home. We know Lenore Sellers is going to be back, revamped offensive coordinator situation there for the Gamecocks. You go to Mississippi State in week five. So, I mean, your first five games, it sets up pretty damn well for a team that's certainly going to be going through some transition starting with the quarterback position. And you're going to need to utilize those first five games pretty well. Because then in week six, you go to Georgia. Week seven, you go to Texas A&M. No, you get Georgia at home, excuse me, in week six. Go to Tennessee week seven. A&M week eight, then you get to the bye week. And, come off the bye week. And only one bye week in 2026. That's a change because of how the calendar year lays out. No two bye weeks this season. Come off the bye week. Go to Lane State University, LSU. A week after, you go to Vanderbilt. Is it going to be Jared Curtis at quarterback? Vanderbilt's certainly going to have some Alabama flavor. Keanu Coote from a year or two ago went over to Vandy. Played a lot for the Commodores in 2026. Now you're going to see, you could see Cole Adams returning punts for the Commodores on November the 14th. Then you get Chattanooga. Then you get Auburn at home. So the schedule lays out pretty well for what you anticipate Alabama working through in the first half of the season. Let's see. Yeah, that's kind of the feeling I get, University, in terms of the roster spin. You know, Alabama's just not going to be Texas and Texas Tech in the market. And you can, again, we talked about this from the outset of the show, question the sustainability about it. Kind of, in some ways, reminds me of, you know, Alabama, before Saban, did not drive that market at all with coaches and didn't appear to be anywhere close to sort of joining that ranks of let's go out and buy the best head coach we can. That changed, obviously, with Nick Saban. It took some hard years. It took some tough navigation through some tough periods, in fairness to some of those coaches who inherited some of the situations they did before Alabama eventually did get to that point, though, of becoming the driver. And Alabama became the driver, as we all know now, in college football for that previous era. And it was the previous era now. Sounds crazy to say it right now, but it is. You know, college football through 2021-ish, you know, post-2021-ish, it's really not the same game anymore. But, yeah, that's the sense I do get, is that it's going to be a little bit of balling on a budget. And, again, that's where more than ever, not just in terms of having the right head coach, you better have the right staff, period. On the field, personnel department, you better have it if you're not going to be a big spender. I'm not saying you have to be, because I think there's a downside to that too. Guys come in, if guys come in and it's just pretty much all about the money, then how much is it really about the football? And, I think that's an undervalued sort of dynamic. Now, there's some guys you can get both. I get that. Let's see. What else do we have here? There's some questions about Keon Keeley. It did sound like Notre Dame. University saying that Cole Adams will contribute at wide receiver and will be a gritty, gutty possession guy. I like Cole Adams as a receiver. He just, the health stuff was a problem. You know, it was a struggle for him going back to his senior year of high school. I'm team Cole, man. The wide receiver position with Lottie Brooks. We'll see if it's a bounce back year for Ryan Williams. Needs to be. I mean, he needs to be wide receiver one as things sit right now, right? And Lottie Brooks, I love what he brings to the table, but he's not necessarily that guy that opposing defenses are going to game plan for. You know, I don't see him right now as sort of Jaylen Waddle like. He might be. I think he's a hell of a football player. I think he's more than anything, he's a smaller, not smaller, because Devontae was, what, about 170 pounds at Alabama? But in terms of his catch radius and ability to go get the ball, you know, Devontae. He reminds me of Devontae, though, in that he's not above special teams or doing whatever the team needs. Alabama needs, as much as anything, Alabama needs more of those guys. Donald's wondering about Sark being on notice. I think this is just Texas, man. This is what I expected Texas to be in the portal, right? I mean, I'd be surprised if they weren't, you know, buying guys out of commitments elsewhere. And then also apparently able to keep Relique Brown, too. Another guy Alabama was in on there at the running back position. That's strong, I guess. Cam Coleman, you know, that price tag wasn't DG to go get Cam Coleman. Oh gosh. Donald says Williams needs to step in and produce as HaHa talked about. HaHa has been interesting on the Twitter. You know, when I was watching that Rose Bowl game, they kind of had the sideline shot, and I could see HaHa over there when it was whatever it was. It was bad at that point. And I'm thinking, what's going through HaHa's head right now, you know, in a game like this? But HaHa's been, he's been active there on the X, no doubt about it. Hey, anything else before we get out of here on a Monday? I'm going to check the old notes here. I'm getting old. I have to check the notes. There has been some coaching news, obviously. Alabama moving tight ends coach Brian Ellis to the quarterback's job. I thought that was kind of interesting because you think maybe Grubb was going to take on quarterbacks and OC, but I like it in a way because it frees up Grubb to be universal in terms of his attention. And we'll see with this coaching staff once we get through the portal. I don't know. I like Derek Nick stepping in at wide receiver. Obviously a guy with vast SEC experience. So, you know, we'll see what happens staff wide. I think it's important though, because if you're not going to be prolific in terms of talent acquisition through all streams, you're telling me that, hey, we feel like we can develop both grassroots and otherwise. Yeah, I think that's sort of the lesson in this too. GA, who says Hollywood used Alabama to get more leverage from Texas. And that's where the timing of the portal is going to be a learning process, I think, for some places moving forward. You know, those couple of weeks, that first week is when a lot of talking is going to get done. It's almost like you go to one car dealership and you say, hey, give me your out the door best price. And then there's that other dealership across town that says we will meet or beat any other price. You get your money up. You get a very definitive number, a very real number. That's the other part of this too, trying to decipher what's real anymore. I guess maybe there's some promissory. I don't know. I would think if you sign anything, you got a problem. But yeah, it's certainly going to be that. And I think a lot of guys, not just guys that are hot on the market like Hollywood, but I think guys that are sort of secondary, once that first wave comes through, it's going to be kind of like when there was the two portal windows. I mean, there was a real benefit to being in that second window because teams find out more about their roster between that first and second window. And if you're in that second window, boy, your valuation can go through the roof because that's the last stop for gas. You know, it's kind of like traveling across the southwestern desert. And there's that, this is it. You know, this is where you got to make that move in the portal before the season starts. And if you were able to hit that window, sometimes for some guys, not everyone, you could truly enhance your value. I think the second week of this portal window is going to be kind of like what that second window was. And again, earlier I talked about the transfer portal window for grads later on. There's still going to be that. So, what do we got here from Donald? I think Donald's in here. I can see if I can get this to pull up. Huh? was trying to. Just not doing it now. Donald's point about, again, Indiana, they're not a fluke. Yeah, I mean, if you're an Alabama fan, I guess you can take solace in that. I don't know many Alabama fans that, even with the success Oregon has had, sans a national championship. But yeah, your point is well made. Oregon was a good football team. And Indiana absolutely took apart the Ducks. If that, you know, that helps some people feel better, that you can always go to the old, well, we lost to the champs. Yeah, I think you'd feel a little bit better, though, if you were competitive in the football game, outside of maybe the first 6 or 8 minutes, really, of that Rose Bowl. So, hey, just wanted to jump on a Monday morning and talk some Alabama transfer portal with you folks. This show will archive on the old YouTube channel. Ryer on YouTube, hit that subscribe button right now. Turn on those notification bells so you're alerted when we do drop content here on the channel. And a thumbs up is always appreciated. A lot of stuff still going on. We'll jump back on when we feel it's the right time to do so and talk some Alabama football. We'll talk some Southeastern Conference football. We'll talk some NFL playoffs here on the channel as well. I'm also on X at Travis Ryer, TravisReier. Hey, have a great rest of your Monday. Have a great week and keep it locked right here to Ryer on YouTube. And until next time, so long, everybody.